And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me tonight on this big 13-game night in the NBA is Wes Goldberg. Wes, what's up?
Exhausted after 13 games of basketball. It's crazy.
Unbelievable. Let's start with probably the best one. There were a lot of good ones to choose from tonight, but the Nuggets beat the Clippers 130-128 in overtime in a game that was just back and forth. I mean, there was a point where people on Twitter were like, the Nuggets are done. Like, this is toast. It's over. This was like halfway through the fourth quarter. They battled back. Jokic was unreal tonight. I just have to read a stat line real quick, and then I'll let you break down one of the more beautiful passes that I've maybe ever seen. He finished with 49 points, 14 boards, 10 assists, 3 steals, a block. Just an unbelievable performance. 14 of 16 from the free throw line, which was key down the stretch, certainly. And then this pass to Aaron Gordon in the corner. I mean, try to describe it for me.
Well, first of all, the way that it's set up is the Clippers play great defense here. This is textbook defense on Jokic, right? You send the late double, not early. You send it late in the shot clock, so you take away as many options on the floor as possible from a passing standpoint. What does he do? He has this like falling away. He's falling away on his right foot and then finds Aaron Gordon, somehow sees Aaron Gordon in the first place, then finds him in the opposite corner in this crunch time moment. I don't know that there's another player in the league that could have made the pass that Nikola Jokic did. He finds Aaron Gordon, not only just finds Aaron Gordon, passes it to him, hits him in the shooting pocket. Andrew, this was insane. And then Aaron Gordon just nails the three-pointer because of course he did, because it was a perfect pass. So the Nikola Jokic, he has to lead the league in just like hands on head at this point, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like just leaving you with these awe moments.
Without a doubt. He was great. There were a lot of them in overtime. And I was honestly, like, the pass was unbelievable, and so I didn't even have time to think about it. But for most of the overtime, I'm just thinking, I don't want any Nugget to have the ball but Jokic. Like, everybody was missing everything. I think Monty Morris, like, airball a corner three. Like, they couldn't finish in transition. Like, nothing was happening unless it was Jokic. Jokic was, like, there to, like, tap the ball in a few times. It just felt like nothing was going to happen unless it was at the hand of Nikola Jokic. But credit to Aaron Gordon for hitting that shot, too, because it's a pressure-packed shot.
Yeah, and nothing was going to stop Jokic either. You know, I think we use a lot of adjectives to describe Nikola Jokic, right? But I think we need to start using the word unstoppable, because there is a point where Zubac, who had a great game for LA.
Yeah, he was awesome.
In overtime there, it kind of looked like he was trying to tackle Jokic, and then they kind of reviewed it, and it looked like Jokic was initiating the contact. They never called the foul. A lot of people were upset about a lot of things at the end of that game, but they never called the foul. Jokic initiates the contact. They don't call the foul. Then he gets the ball and then just barrels to the rim. And there are a lot of plays like that. And Jokic, look, one of the adjectives we use a lot with him is just how unique he is, how different he is. And one of the things with these high-level scorers in the NBA is how they just figure out a way to get around defenses or avoid defenses with a step back or just speed in the case of a guy like Ja Morant, or you know, just jumping over people in the case of Giannis. But like, Jokic just goes through people. He plays basketball like TJ Watt gets sacks. You know, he's got swim moves, Euro steps, the footwork. I mean, we got to start using the word unstoppable with him, because he just can't, when he gets into things like this, he cannot be stopped. And he wasn't tonight.
Let's go to Milwaukee, where the Bucks handled the Grizzlies 126-114. Giannis had 33 and 15 to lead the way For the Bucks, Memphis, I thought, had a chance to get back in this. They pulled within seven to open up the fourth quarter, but then D'Anthony Melton misses two free throws. The Bucks respond and get a layup from George Hill. Middleton hits a baseline jumper, and then it kind of feels like it's all over again for the Grizzlies, and the Bucks just pulled away. An impressive win for Milwaukee.
Kind of felt like a statement, didn't it? I mean, like you said, Memphis pulling close to the game, and then Milwaukee just sort of blowing them out late. Credit to Chris Milton for a big fourth quarter, but this was really kind of Giannis versus Ja Morant, wasn't it? Like, this is the way that it was framed. Yeah. I think it was Kendrick Perkins saying that Ja Morant is the next Giannis on, you know, the lead up on on ESPN today and all these things. And, you know, Giannis hears that stuff. And you look at the fourth quarter, Giannis has 9 points. Ja Morant has 4. I don't know. That just felt like a statement to me. Like, this was, like, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, where Giannis takes the crown and puts it on his head against LeBron? Like, he takes these personal matchups personally, these man-to-man matchups personally, and he did it with against Ja Morant tonight. I thought it was a statement.
I agree. I think this Bucks team has had maybe a little bit of disrespect all season. Like, no one really watches them or believes in them, you know, that. Drew Holiday only played a little bit. He was just coming back for the first time. I think this is his first game in 6 games to play. So they're trying to get back into full form, and this is still a great team. This is still the defending champs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's good for them to win this one. A team that's not looking so good, the Los Angeles Lakers. They continue to embarrass themselves as they lose to the Indiana Pacers in the Crypto.com arena. Caris LeVert had 22 points in the fourth quarter. Frank Vogel leaves Russell Westbrook on the bench in a close game. My question to you, Wes, is does Vogel survive the next 24 hours? Because this was a brutal one.
Yeah, and at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. That would be ironic if Vogel lost his job to a loss to the Pacers. Look, there was a lot of weird stuff with this game. It would be another layer of irony would be leaving Russell Westbrook on the bench is probably the right move, and it's kind of the move that he should probably have been doing way earlier in the season, because there have been several games where Westbrook has cost the Lakers late because teams don't defend him and because he doesn't defend anybody else and all this stuff in the volume shooting. And he finally actually, now that he's coaching for his job, according to those reports, he does the right thing, leaves Russell Westbrook on the bench, but you could see maybe, like, it would be like the most Lakers-y thing to do is to fire him and then cite the fact that they left one of their highest paid players on the bench. that seems like a level of irony that could only be reserved for the Lakers.
I totally agree. Yeah, just a weird night. Big night from Malcolm Brogdon returning to the lineup, 19 points, 4 boards, 6 assists, and then just a big night from Sabonis and LeVert. Congrats to the Pacers, and we'll be watching, Lakers, to see what goes on in the next 24 hours with you. There's always something. The Wizards lose to the Nets in Washington, 119 to 118. Kyrie Irving, who's just playing on the road, put in 30. LaMarcus Aldridge had 27 in this victory. The Wizards, at the very end of this game, it felt like they had like a million chances to win this one, but couldn't pull it off. Any thoughts on the Nets team without Kevin Durant so far?
Well, I mean, if LaMarcus Aldridge puts up 27 or 28 points or whatever it was every night, then they'll be just fine. You know, if he's just hopped into a time machine and flew back 5 or 6 years. But also, like, the end of that game for Washington was really sloppy. You know, I think some people online were talking about, well, you probably should take a timeout in that situation because Kyrie misses a three and then Harden gets blocked and then Washington got the ball. It was like this weird, like, jumble of things that were happening, and the Wizards, instead of calling a timeout in that situation with only a few seconds left, just go down the other side. I thought it was the right call to not take the timeout. I don't trust Brooklyn to get organized defensively because they're never organized defensively. Yeah. And I was okay with that. And the Kuzma and Dinwiddie both getting a chance to make threes on that final possession after an offensive rebound. Dinwiddie got it. They had the good looks. They had the looks. They probably should have won that game. Definitely could have won that game. So that was really it.
Yeah. And Kuzma was super upset after this game. I don't know if you saw this play, but there was a pass to the corner that was supposed to hit Kuzma. And somebody, and I can't really identify it on the video, I don't know if you saw it, somebody on the Brooklyn bench reached their hand up and tipped the ball.
I didn't see that.
It didn't get called. A bizarre play. Kuzma wouldn't stop talking about it after the game. He was super upset about that. This was like halfway through the fourth quarter. Just kind of a bizarre play that I don't really know that anything will ever come of it, but it was just weird. Something else that's weird. The Utah Jazz fall to the Houston Rockets, 116 to 111. The Rockets close this game with maybe the most hilariously ballsy shot from Kevin Porter Jr., who just ISOs, takes this three off the dribble, and it just sent Jazz Twitter into a complete tizzy.
Yeah, look, I understand that Jazz Twitter is on edge. Like, Jazz fans should be on edge. You lost Rudy Gobert for a little while, and your defense was leaky, understandably, and you lost a bunch of games, and now you're out. You're without Donovan Mitchell, who is out this game because he's in concussion protocols, which is a different kind of protocols than we're used to hearing about. But you're missing your best players for this stretch of games, and you're losing. And that's understandable, but you look at a lot of other teams that have faced adversity this season, and they've been able to stay afloat. They haven't been this bad. And I don't know, is Utah a top-heavy team? Because I never considered Utah a top-heavy team, but it kind of appears that they might be. And then I just thought the execution late was really bad on the Jazz part. Like, they ran this ATO afterwards, and it was like a cool-looking play, but it ended up getting Mike Conley like this 35-footer. I was like, that's what you drew up? A 35-footer for Mike Conley in the final minute and a half of the game when you had a chance to kind of get back in this thing? So this is the reality for the Jazz. You're trying to learn how to play without your stars, because most of the beginning of the season, when they were playing so well, was basically without much adversity. Now they're missing a lot of guys.
Yep.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, I'm going to try to get through the rest of these games if we can. The Pistons squeaked by the Kings 133-131. Right after the Kings declare that this is their team, this is who they want moving forward, they lose to the Pistons. The Spurs just absolutely house the Thunder 118-96. DeJounte Murray with a big-time triple-double, 23-10-14. Philly battles back against the Magic to win 123-110. Embiid with a big 50-piece, 50-12, three blocks leading the way. Also, free Mo Bamba, who had 32 tonight.
Free him from my fantasy bench.
Oh, no. LaMelo Ball leads the Hornets to a victory in Beantown, 111-102. He had a triple-double, 15-10-10. Luka Doncic leads the Mavs past the Raptors, 102-98. The Hawks battle back to beat the Timberwolves, 134-122. This is a big-time game for the Hawks. This is actually the first time in nearly 2 months that the Hawks have won back-to-back games, which just feels just really crazy. Just a really, really weird season for the Hawks. And then finally, the Bulls continue to be back as they cool down the red-hot Cavs, 117-104. That's going to do it for us here at the Daily Ding. Wes, take us out.
Ding, ding.